The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
When O'Malley formed the Progressive Democrats, Haughey dismissed them out of hand. He rightly predicted that the PDs would hurt Fine Gael more than Fianna Fáil. But twice in 1987 and 89, the one a PD triumph, the other a devastation, Des O'Malley's new party denied Charles Haughey's Fianna Fáil an overall Dáil majority.
To be president of the Progressive Democrats, because less than 6 months ago, the Progressive Democrats did not exist. A torch was lit on the 21st of December, and it's now become a burning fire.
The voice of Des O'Malley, who at the age of 82 has died. He was a former Fianna Fáil minister, the founding member of the Progressive Democrats, and known by one and all as the man who was an arch rival to Charles Haughey. We're joined on the line now by former Taoiseach John Bruton. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You knew him in all his manifestations, both in opposition to him as a Fianna Fáil minister and then watching him create the Progressive Democrats and thrive in that regard.
Well, I suppose the biggest reason I feel very sad at this news is about Des O'Malley, the man. He was a very kind and funny man, a man with a highly developed sense of humour, highly developed sense of the ridiculous. And he was very entertaining to be with. Now, his public persona may have come across as a bit severe, but in private, that was not the case at all. As well as that, Des O'Malley, I think, had a very strong sense of the state, of the integrity of the state, and that in a state like this, there could only be one army subject to the Dáil, only one police force subject to the Dáil. And when he became Minister of Justice at a young age in 1970, one felt that the institutions of the state had been placed in very, very safe hands. So I think he played a crucial role in saving the state at that time, as he did subsequently in other issues.
It's interesting that Des O'Malley might not have been a TD and therefore not a minister, certainly not in that timing, if it were not for the premature death of the famous education minister, Donogh O'Malley, his uncle.
That's correct. But he was obviously a particularly visibly talented man when he stood in the by-election in 1968. I took part in that by-election. His rival in Fine Gael was Jim O'Higgins, I remember. But Des, even then, you could see, was marked for advancement. He was a man of considerable talent.
The rivalry between himself and Charlie Haughey, I mean, we do see people carping from the back benches, even in Fianna Fáil today. We have John McGuinness and Mark McSharry and so on. But Des O'Malley's quarrel with Charles Haughey was of a different scale entirely.
He took a stand on principle, on the principle that there should be no ambiguity in regard to the integrity of the state and no truck by the state with private organisations that were attempting to do the state's work, so to speak. He also, I think, took a stand on the liberalisation of our laws when he parted company from his party to support the then government's legislation, standing by the Republic, as he put it, which earned him disapprobation from Charlie Haughey and, I think, contributed to his expulsion from Fianna Fáil. You could say that, in fact, the Progressive Democrats were formed as a result of Charles Haughey's actions, because if he'd been more accommodating toward Des O'Malley, it mightn't have happened. Very few people have been as successful as Des O'Malley was in setting up an entirely new political party.
We seem to have temporarily lost former Taoiseach John Bruton. We'll just wait for a moment to see if the line reconnects. But yes, John, we lost you temporarily there. You're back.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Well, I think the success of Des O'Malley in setting up the Progressive Democrats, although they didn't last forever, nothing lasts forever, I suppose, in this life, was, I think, quite exceptional. Very few other attempts at setting up new political parties succeed for as long or achieve as much as he did with the Progressive Democrats.
Now, the question of the ending of Civil War politics, a lot of people at the time said, well, with the formation of the Progressive Democrats, it was the beginning of that process. You know, the two party, one in government with the help perhaps of Labour or the other Fianna Fáil in government on its own. And that began to fracture. Do you see it that way, that what we're seeing today with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael with the Greens in coalition, that that process really started with Des O'Malley, particularly when Charlie Haughey agreed to go into coalition with them?
I have a problem with this description of the political divide in Ireland as being civil war politics. We have parties that are of the pragmatic centre, and I think we're better off for that than we are or would have been if we had sheer left-right divides. But the civil war divide exists still. I mean, Sinn Féin took one side in the civil war against the Free State, as did Fianna Fáil's predecessors. So in that sense, civil war politics still exists in that literal sense.
Des O'Malley himself talked about at one point being armed with a pistol supplied presumably by the Gardaí when he was Minister for Justice. People may not realise what a dangerous time this period was known to be.
Oh, absolutely. I myself, as a very junior minister in government subsequent to that, had four members of the Gardaí Síochána 24 hours guarding me. As all the other ministers and junior ministers from the northern half of the country had. So it was a very dangerous time. And I think the Irish people owe a lot to Des O'Malley and to Liam Cosgrave, those two men who I think through the 1970s preserved the institutions of this state.
Des O'Malley leaves a legacy behind which will stand the test of time, one suspects. Your own final verdict on the life and political tenure of Des?
I think he was a great politician, a conviction politician, a man who was very deeply serious but also could enjoy a joke.
All right, and I remember being in his company in social circumstances on numerous occasions, and that was for sure the private man was a very different kind of man to the public postures that he often portrayed on television. But John Bruton, former Taoiseach, thank you very much for joining us. Listening to our conversation is Michael O'Regan, the former parliamentary correspondent of the Irish Times. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you watched the turbulence in Fianna Fáil unfold, which led, of course, to the resignation of Des O'Malley. And it was turbulent, you know, not just in word, but also physically turbulent at that time.
It was. In fact, Pat, I was in Leinster House in the evening in those fraught times when the late Jim Gibbons actually was jostled by people after a very, very fractious meeting of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party. It was a difficult time in politics, and you know, O'Malley stood up to all of that. He was, John Bruton is right there, he was a man of huge integrity, and privately, of course, a great company, but you know, which obscured the kind of dour public image. But how bad things were, Pat, at one stage within Fianna Fáil, Des O'Malley said Charles Haughey was unfit for public office. And of course, Charles Haughey's Fianna Fáil expelled him for conduct unbecoming. He had made that famous speech, I Stand by the Republic, when he refused to oppose contraception laws, or rather innocent Ireland now in retrospect. And then, of course, he founded the Progressive Democrats, and huge success. Initially, people like Bobby Mullay and Pierce Wise, two Fianna Fáil stalwarts, joined him in that. Mary Harney, of course, joined him. But also, Pat, I think to focus exclusively on the founding of the Progressive Democrats wouldn't give perhaps due justice to Des O'Malley, who was Minister for Justice in 1970 in the aftermath of the arms crisis, when the, you know, when Ireland really was on the verge at one stage of a possible civil war. He used to recall that he was in the bath in his home in Limerick when Jack Lynch, the then Taoiseach, who had at that stage sacked two ministers, Charles Haughey and Liam Denny, rang him, asked him could he be at Dublin in an hour or so. O'Malley made it to Dublin and he was appointed Minister for Justice by Jack Lynch. Now, he had been Jack Lynch's chief whip. Lynch was a great admirer of his and they became quite close politically. Lynch famously described him as a great bit of stuff at one stage. And O'Malley took on the Department of Justice at a very, very difficult time. You know, he was, as you said earlier there, he was given a pistol by the Gardaí. His personal safety was in jeopardy. His family home in Limerick was a kind of fortress guarded by members of the Garda Síochána. But it was a very, very tough time for him. But he was incredibly strong politician and a man of absolute integrity. He had to. He took on the Department of Justice when there was a formidable secretary there, Peter Berry, who had been decades in the Department of Justice, and he stood up to Berry on occasions. And he really was Jack Lynch's standby, I suppose, at a very, very difficult time. And I think as well, Pat, that it kind of it also gave him a long distrust of the paramilitaries, the provos and all that kind of thing, which lived with him, inevitably.
The question, though, I don't know whether you read Michael Heaney's book on the arms trial, which takes a different view entirely, suggesting that, I suppose, Liam Cosgrave bounced Jack Lynch into the action that he took, and that really everybody was aware that the arms were going to go to defend the nationalist community in Northern Ireland, that it wasn't, you know, as secret as was maintained. Could it be that Des O'Malley was duped by Jack Lynch and, you know, behaved properly in terms of what he knew, but did he know everything?
I read Michael Heaney's book, Pat, and very well researched, very well written, you know, but I must say I had difficulty with it in that, now I wasn't around as a journalist at that particular time in 1970, but I think that what may have happened at the time is that Lynch would have heard, perhaps, that something was going on. And he was perhaps slow in dealing with it. But I don't believe at any stage that there was a government decision to import arms. I think that was put together by others within the cabinet at that particular time. Now, certainly when Liam Cosgrave came to him with a note from the Garda about the alleged illegal importation of arms, he had to act then, and he acted very, very quickly. But Des O'Malley,
but it was therefore, I mean, if it were so that he knew, of course, it would have been his head on the block and not his ministers. I mean, is it possible that Jack Lynch did not want to know because he had deniability unless he was officially informed?
I think there's a possibility that he didn't want to know at a certain stage. Bear in mind that both Haughey and Blaney, the two ministers you sacked, they were powerful forces within the Fianna Fáil party. At that particular time, Neil Blaney was the king of the organisation. You know, he had been director of elections at by-elections and all that kind of thing. Charles Haughey was a very, very powerful force, Minister for Finance. And I think perhaps that Jack Lynch was slow to act. Now, of course, on the other hand, I suppose, Pat, it could be argued in favour of Lynch that he was waiting to get his facts right. And he had a Minister for Justice at the time, Michael Moran, who wasn't really functioning that well in the Department of Justice, and perhaps could have kept Lynch better briefed. But it could be argued that Lynch was possibly waiting, you know, to be sure of his ground on that, because it was a huge decision to sack two ministers, as he did in the early hours of the morning in 1970. O'Malley strongly always defended Lynch on that, and I would be inclined to accept O'Malley's version of events. Mm. Now, what the knowledge that Lynch had is, I suppose, open to question. But it was a difficult time, and it was a difficult decision to fire two of the senior members of the cabinet. Yeah. And probably, you know, it had the potential to wreck Fianna Fáil, which it didn't, by the way. Yeah. Lynch won the deal.
I must say that in all the time I've been looking at politics, man and boy, one of the most astonishing things was when Charles Haughey invited the Progressive Democrats under Des O'Malley to join him in coalition. I mean, I thought pigs would fly before that would happen, but happen it did.
It did, and we all thought, actually, Pat, that this was an impossibility. Remember Pádraig Flynn in the Plint and Leinster House saying, you know, not going into coalition was a core value on the part of Fianna Fáil. Meanwhile, Charlie was doing a deal behind the scenes with Des O'Malley and Bobby Mullay. And he later said to Des O'Malley, nobody could have done this, Des, except myself. It was a pragmatic arrangement. It worked well, of course. It eventually unraveled, but it worked well. It was pragmatism. I think Des O'Malley figured, look, the interests of the country come before any personal animosity he might have towards Charles Haughey. A few years earlier, it would have been absolutely unthinkable. It would have been, you know, it just wouldn't have been on the radar screen at all of any political journalist or politician.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for joining us to mark the passing of Des O'Malley, who died at the age of 82.